Kiki Accord is a blue colonel. He was a number. He was a military attaché in Budapest.
Okay.
And he volunteered to us. And we had been trying to get good communications organized with him and had been having a lot of trouble. Ed Howard had heard about it.
Huh.
And told the KGB in Vienna the same time he gave to Tolkachev. He said that he had heard about a case when he was on the USSR branch about an angry Soviet colonel in Hungary.
Uh-huh.
And that's right, because there was a big blow-up when Accord got all upset because we had terrible problems organizing meetings and everything with him in Hungary. And he got really pissed off at one point. And there was a lot of talk about it, and I think that's how it was called. And your Czechoslovak told us and talked about an angry colonel.
Huh.
But they were thinking blue.
Uh-huh.
And can you even imagine how many Soviet colonels
uh-huh.
were running around Hungary?
Oh yeah.
You know, with the group of Soviet forces in Hungary and everything.
So did you know this guy's name then? Or
no, I don't know his name. No, other than he knew his military actually.
Oh,
and I also had cables on my desk.
That
has a lot of specific information about the most recent meeting or something like that, and I would just stack them up. But some of them, I guess, I maybe didn't have cables, so I would just find them. But I didn't have names for hugging anybody.
Now, how important was he? I mean, when you go through these, tell me how big these guys were.
He wasn't big because we weren't in regular contact with him, and he wasn't really reporting a lot.
Uh-huh.
But he had volunteered to us, and he was a colonel in the group.
Uh-huh.
So
that's big.
Yeah, that's big.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Top.
Okay.
Tickle, of course.
Gordievsky. And yet we have that curious thing that he may not have been the one who did it.
That's right. But I certainly told him all about it.
All right. But you didn't.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't the first one.
Which, you think that there may be a mole then in the British intelligence?
Why not?
Why
not?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah, that's right. G.T. Cowell had volunteered to us in Moscow. He walked up, as I recall, he walked up to a station officer and gave him a package. And G.T. Cowell was an officer in the Moscow KGB, not the second chief directorate, which was counterintelligence. He was at the Moscow region KGB, a counterintelligence officer, not the guy who chasing black market gears or dissidents or something. He was a counterintelligence officer in the Moscow region, or maybe the Moscow Oblast region KGB. And what he gave the officer was some documents, and I think it was a cloth. And he said, "Analyze this cloth. It's what we put on your cars and stuff, spiders."
Oh, he's going
the
to
chemical trace.
You
didn't tell us much about it, but he gave us a sample. What he said was a sample. It was your checker who told us really all about it. And the documents, one of them was a publication, an internal. Second chief director of publication, and one of the articles actually showed a picture of some spy gear allegedly issued by the CIA to a Soviet agent, and we looked at that, and I said, "That's so and so," and it was a guy who suspected he was a double agent for a long time. Cowell told us a little bit about what had happened with the Danilo case later on. Danilov was that newsday correspondent in Moscow who got arrested. He wrote a book about it. And this guy, that's a very complicated case. But in any case, Cowell told us some things about that, And he also gave us an office phone number where we were supposed to call him. It was a phone number of a colleague of his. And we were supposed to get back in touch with him, but Clinton got cold feet because the date that this guy selected was 2 days before the presidential election in 1984. Clinton was nervous if by any chance it were a provocation, and we got PNG, Ronald Reagan would be angry. So we blew him off. We didn't make contact. And then it took months and months of agonizing and a lot of risk for this guy to get back in touch.
Wow.
But he was arrested, and Paul Stombaugh was ambushed going to meet him in the spring of 86.
Okay, that was that.
Yeah, spring of 86, Paul Stombaugh. CK Fitness was probably one of the highest profile cases at the time. He was not a senior officer, but he was in the illegals line of the residency in Bonn. And he knew a lot about German operations because friends were telling him, and some of these secretaries, and we had several, really hot leads from him. He also, the illegals line had been asked by the illegal directorate back in Moscow to survey places where small anti-personnel and incendiary bombs could be put all around American military installations in Germany. This is, war planes.
Uh-huh.
They weren't going to do that.
Uh-huh.
But this was a requirement.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to do it. And we had it. And we gave it to
them. Oh, so he knew exactly what it was.
And you could imagine the reaction. You could imagine the reaction. And he gave us all the sites.
Wow.
Where they would be,
that's on the issue
time.
Uh-huh. So this was big time, isn't it?
And this was Soviet executive assassination, war stuff,
Yeah.
And the Reagan administration, wow.
They loved that.
Gangbusters, they loved it.
And he also told you about the spies that had
high level penetrations in the German government.
Were there a lot?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But he only gave us two or three, but they were very big companies, and we later tracked him down.
But there were KGB agents
in
spots in
absolutely.
Germany.
Absolutely.
And
he told us about several of them.
And you didn't pass that on to German or German, or they did? No
way.
No way.
I mean, because they came to fitness. It would have been endless agony. After a lot of work, the way it would have happened normally, had fitness not disappeared mysteriously, the way it would have happened was slowly, over time, with a lot of thought and care, technically, those German leads would have gone to the counterintelligence staff, the CIC, and they would have done some preliminary investigation. And then we would have somehow tried to draw up a real sanitary package of involving one of the leads, and hopefully really misdirecting attention way away from kids.
And try to
and then pass it to the Germans and say to the Germans, here's a lead we have, and it's a German, and here you are, let us know how it goes. But it would have taken a tremendous amount of work and effort to sanitize it, to remove any traces, so that there's no way the Germans could say, where did the Americans get this?
Right. Exactly.
Because the danger was a KGB penetration of the BFE. So we had this. So
that was being worked on.
That was being worked on.
But there was one, two, three.
I think there were at least two or three leads that really looked like high level stuff. You see, he didn't know the cases directly because he wasn't in the PR line. But he had a buddy in the PR line and told him a lot of what was going on.
Wow.
Why
did they find fitness? Was he a liar or something?
No. Most of these are, they should be random.
Yeah.
Million was a GRU officer in Lisbon. And the reason we called him a million was because we gave him $1 million.
You can on $1 million.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was only half a million. Maybe it was only half a million.
Yeah, wow.
Sorry. Maybe it was only half a million. I can't remember. He came in and he said he had stolen funds, that he had taken half, it was half a million. That he had taken $500,000 out of the GRU money. He was acting as a finance officer for the GRU residency. And that he had taken $500,000 out of the reserve fund in the GRU cash box and given it to a Portuguese president to his wife to invest in something.
Wow.
And the auditors were coming, so he's out. Now, there's no way that the GRU had half a million in the cash box. I am sorry. There is no way. And I managed to convince most people of this. And in fact, we did manage in the initial process of talking with this guy about it. We talked to Blizzard in Athens, who's a GRU colonel and a deputy resident. And I asked a kind of a roundabout tricky question, and the answer to which Blizzard gave unambiguously, you know, no way. He wanted half a million dollars. So he put him on a polygraph, but that's not it. But in any case, a GRU officer is a GRU officer, so he didn't have a million dollars. Wow. What did he have? Did he have anything good? Just what the GRU was doing in Portugal, and he'd served in one tour of Paris, so he had some stuff about French stuff. I forget what that was all about. There wasn't much going on. He told us about these guys all, when they recruited me, they all tell us about a bunch of our own double agent cases.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, yeah. They all say, now let me tell you about these American cases.
Uh-huh.
And he said, tell us about it.
And they're all done one?
And you get to the point where you kind of look at it and say, okay.
Uh-huh.
And you say, this looks like a double agent case.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then it turns out to be. And he gave us a couple of double agents. Gentile was S&T line in Washington. Prologue is later.
Okay.
Forget Prologue. Right. Motorboat is later. Forget it. Blizzard is a GRU colonel, deputy resident in Athens, there for the second tour.
Okay.
But he was being recalled. He got a recall telegram in May.
Okay. Before you again.
That's right. Okay. Or was it June? Well, I'm getting confused. I'll get the dates on this later, or someone will. But in any case, he got a cable. His son, who was in Spetsnaz training. Spetsnaz was a big deal then.
Huh.
His son was in the military, and he was a Spetsnaz officer. But he'd fallen off, he'd gotten injured jumping off a parachute tie. And so Blizzard was being offered compassionate leave to come back and visit. But he got all nervous and upset, and he defected.
Wow.
And we brought him to the States.
What did he do for you, though? Did he
He told us everything that the GRU was doing, and
that's what that comes to.
And that was good stuff. Uh-huh. A lot of good stuff. He gave us some really good GRU cases.
GRU agents
in the Greek military. He gave us he'd been in Athens a tour before,
uh-huh.
And he gave us that guy Campilis, that young CIA officer who sold all the satellite secrets.
Oh. Oh.
William, I think. William Campilis, K-A-M-P-I-L-E-S. Campilis case.
Okay.
And then he also gave us, there's a Greek American from MIT or something who was arrested and convicted just a few months ago. And he was here in this jail.
Huh.
And Blizzard gave him to us.
So he gave you two there.
Yeah, he gave us.
He also gave us
a bunch
Greeks,
of stuff over the years.
Some Greek.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
He gave us a bunch of good stuff over the years.
Okay.
He also, in between the two Greek tours, he served in the command post in the duty office in GRU headquarters. And so he had all kinds of neat stuff that he had read and learned about sitting in sort of the watch office, the duty office, and telegrams from all over.
Stuff like great. They were doing in the United States?
Not in the U.S., but more sort of worldwide.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't recall that he had much to say about the U.S.
Those kind of things?
No, political developments, intelligence reporting from new residencies, okay. Stuff like that.
Gentile.
C.K. Wick. He was a director of K-Officer, counterintelligence director.
Oh.
Officer. And he was chief of the K.I. line in Lagos.
Okay.
He had been recruited in...
Well, you could have gone.
Yeah, that's right. He had been recruited in Nepal about 15 years before.
Wow.
And he had gone back to the Soviet Union, but without no contact plan.
Uh-huh.
And we hadn't heard from him forever. And then in sometime in, I guess, 84 maybe, he popped up in Lagos. And we sent someone out and met him on the street, and he was still out there.
I'll be darned. What kind of stuff did he give you? Anything good?
Yeah. The attempts to penetrate a lot of... What had he been doing in the Soviet Union? I forgot. We hadn't had a lot of time with him to debrief him by the summer of 85. He had already given us a lot of stuff on their plans. They had recruited at least one Nigerian employee of the American embassy.
Uh-huh.